Hey everyone, welcome to Mosaic House Online. I am so thankful that we are here to worship the Lord, even on this platform. Now, before we proceed, I believe it is in the will of Father in heaven, the God, Lord Almighty, that you belong, yes, belong in a local church, the body of Christ, the tangible, experiential body of Christ. So therefore, the Holy Spirit encourages me to encourage you to find a local church and belong there, serve the Lord there, and engage on the mission of Jesus Christ. My introductory remarks. Do you know any gold diggers? I don't mean actual, like, you know, gold miners. I'm talking about gold diggers. Well, let me tell you about this guy. There was an article in Newsweek magazine this past week, which talks about this man, a young man, very, very successful. He was working for a company and he got it made. He was making six-figure salary, a company car, and all the travels and the trips, and he was doing really well, really well. He got all the works, as it were. So he was able to provide for his young wife the lavish things in life, right? Beautiful home, luxurious lifestyle, you name it. She got it all. Now, then things began to go bad. He lost his job. He got laid off. And somehow he was able to find a new job, which paid significantly less. Luckily, they were able to keep the house, but they had to cut down, change drastically about their lifestyle. So he told his wife, "Honey, babe, I'm really sorry. I'm going to make it work, but no more lavish style. We have to cut down. We have to change our lifestyle drastically." Within 2 weeks, she said, "Babe, I'm sorry. I'm not in love with you anymore." She left. And then after that, within 3 months, she found a new boyfriend and she shacked up with him. What is most crushing in the story in this article is the fact that his family, his parents and his siblings and his sister, they all warned him, hey, there's something off about this woman. And yet, despite of all the warnings, he went ahead and now he has to deal with all the breakup and the side effects, the result of this brokenness. Now, before we go any further, let's be fair. The article only writes about his side of the story. So we don't know what she has said, or even if she said anything at all. All we know is that this article is based on his account. So again, let's be fair. We don't know what really happened. The Lord knows what happened between him and her. But for the sake of this illustration, let's suppose this were true. Okay? In which case, people said, yep, she's a gold digger. She's a gold digger. She didn't really love the guy. She loved the things that he provided for her. You know what I mean? He was a means to an end. And once she realized that he couldn't provide, he couldn't deliver, she left him high and dry. A gold digger. Now, why am I talking about this? Well, here's a question for you and me. Am I a gold digger when it comes to our relationship with the good Lord and ourselves? Is he a means to an end? Do I really love him for who he is? Or do we love the things that we get from him? Let me put it this way. Do we love him because we find him beautiful? Or do we love him and do we worship him? Do we obey him because we find him useful? So come with me. I'm going to take you to Exodus chapter 32, 33, and 34, a really well-known account in the life of Moses. But before we get there, the reason we are talking about this is we are in this current series called Prayer, How to Unlock the Possibility of Your Life. And we have learned last couple of weeks through the prayers of Abraham and Jacob. And now today we're going to learn how Moses' prayer for God's glory changed him and thereby His prayer can change us as we submit ourselves under the teaching of the Holy Spirit. So would you come with me to chapter 32 of Exodus? But before we get there, I gotta set the stage up. Are you ready? Exodus, as the name suggests, it was, the whole book is about the people of Israel leaving, exiting the land of slavery, the land of Egypt. They were in bondage, they were in suffering, and they cry out to the Lord, and the good Lord, gracious Lord, compassionate, full of love, He sent Moses, His servant, the prophet. And under the leadership of Moses, the good Lord led His people out of Egypt. And it said, I am taking you from the land of slavery to the land of the promise. Land flowing with what? With milk and honey. Land that is representing wealth, health, prosperity, fertility, and security. All the things that they want, and you want, and I want in our lives. Right? Yes. They wanted health, as you do. They wanted wealth, as you do. And they wanted fertility, as you do. And they wanted security, as you do. They wanted life in its fullness. So the Lord takes them out. And on the way from Egypt to the promised land, which took how many years? 40 years. And they had to go through the desert, the wilderness, where they were tested and tried. Now, this is after the Lord parted the Red Sea. This is after the people of Israel has witnessed and experienced the gracious, miraculous power of the Lord. He sent manna, the bread from heaven, with which He fed them. And He sent quail from the sky for the source of protein, because we need protein, don't we? Yes, we do. And a miracle after miracle, they experience the power, the gracious generosity of Jesus Christ and our Lord. Now, we come to chapter 32, Mount Sinai. The Lord calls Moses, come up to the mountain. Come up, Moses. Come to me. And he spends for the next 40 days and 40 nights at the top of Mount Sinai, conversing, praying with the Lord, praying to the Lord. Okay? Now we pick up the story. This is where things go bad. From bad to worse. Exodus chapter 32, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. What's happening here? What are the people concerned with? They had one thing in mind. They wanted to go to the land of the promise. They wanted the land flowing with milk and honey. What they're longing for was wealth, health, prosperity, fertility, and security. You follow? And then Moses is not coming down. He's taking a long time up in the mountain, talking to the Lord, praying to the Lord, communing with the Lord. So they said, Aaron, what we want, what we desire, what we covet is the promised land. Take us to the promised land. And they complained, they grumbled, and they demanded Aaron that he did something about it. So, here's what Aaron does. Verse 2. Aaron answered them, take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me. So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, these are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. Oh my goodness. Did you hear that? Did you see that? Did you feel that? They're saying, these are the lords that took us out of Egypt. And these are the lords, gods, they will go before us. And these are the gods that will lead us into the promised land. You know what they're saying? They're saying, we don't care which God takes us to the promised land. The only thing that matters is that we get to the promised land. All we want, all we desire is wealth, health, prosperity, fertility, and security. That is what has happened. See, the Israelites were gold diggers. They didn't love the Lord for who he was. They loved the things that they were getting from the Lord. God was a means to an end. They didn't love the Lord for who he was, really. They were the gold diggers. Now, can I be honest? Isn't this how we also function in our lives? Isn't this how we approach God most of the time? We come to him for blessing. We come to him for security. What do you pray for? What do you pray about? What are you most concerned about? Are you concerned about the glory of God the most? Or are you more concerned about, hey, what am I going to wear? What am I going to eat? Where am I going to go? Where is the next trip? Where is the next thing in my life? And for that, you pray to the Lord. And for that, you obey God. For that, you serve God so that you may be blessed by him. All you want, all I want, in all honesty, if we were really true, most of us, for the most time, we want wealth, health, prosperity, fertility, and security. We are no different than the Israelites. Can we be honest? Let's get to grace, therefore. It's all about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, without which, where would I be? Without which, where would you be? And that's why I'm going to preach on the grace of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to take you to the next chapter, chapter 33. Look for these keywords. Here are the keywords. Presence, God's presence, God's face, glory, and goodness. Hear the word of the Lord. Exodus chapter 33. Here's the grace. Are you ready? Come with me. Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased, that's one of the key words, if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so that I know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. Verse 14, the Lord replied, my presence, another key word, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence, key word, your presence, circle that, underline that, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people, unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am what? I am pleased. Circle that word, underline that word. I am pleased with you, and I know you by name. Then Moses said, now show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness, circle that, underline that key word, goodness. I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. And I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, key word, underline that, circle that word. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beautiful story. So let me get to the grace. Here's the theme and the goal of this message. Would you write these words in the sermon outline? In prayer, prayer is about discovering God. Beautiful, not useful. Prayer, what we learned from Moses' prayer is this. When you pray to the God of heavens, when you pray before the Lord God Almighty, when you pray, here's what's happening. When you pray, you find God beautiful, not useful. You discover the God of the universe, majestic, glorious, hallelujah, not useful. And that is what's happening here. That is what's happening here. So, one of the key words is what? Presence. The Lord says, these people of Israel, they are a stiff-necked people. They're rebellious. They don't love me. They don't find me beautiful. They just want to use me and abuse me. And that's why they made a golden calf. A grievous, grievous sin against the Lord, because the Lord said, do not make any idols. And what do they do? They made an idol, and worse yet, it is as if saying to God, I'm going to divorce you. I'm going to leave you high and dry, because you're not useful. Where's this fellow Moses? He's not coming down. Who's going to take us to the promised land? And therefore, the wedding is off. How would you have felt if you were the Lord? How would I have felt? The Lord's indignation was righteous. And he says, Moses, step aside. I'm going to wipe up these people. And I'm going to start a brand new nation, brand new people with you. And Moses intervened. He interceded. He said, oh Lord, relent, relent, relent. Would you please listen to me? If you're pleased with me, he kept saying, if you're pleased with me, if you're pleased with me, if you're pleased with me, Lord, relent. What will the Egyptians say about you? That you took them out of Egypt only to kill them in the desert. That doesn't glorify your name. So for the sake of your glory, for the sake of your glory, Moses pleaded, since you have found favor with me, you are pleased with me, relent. Do not treat the people as they deserve. And the Lord did relent. And the Lord did listen to Moses' plea. And then he says, okay, Moses, I will send an angel. And the people of Israel will indeed go to the land of the promise, the promised land, the land flowing with honey and milk and honey. The land where they will receive wealth, health, security, fertility, and prosperity. All of it, all of it, all that they wanted in life, they're going to get it. However, my presence will not go with them, lest I might kill them on the way. Friends, pause there. This is a rude awakening. The good Lord, he is so gracious. He says, I will do what the people ask. They want the blessing without me? Fine, I will bless them. But my presence will not go with them. You know that Hebrew word, presence? Look, it means, in Hebrew, it's pronounced panim. Say panim, panim. It means, literally, face. And hence, the NIV translated into presence. My face will not go with them, because if my face goes with them, I might kill them along the way. And this is because God is a holy God. And the people of Israel is a stiff-necked, rebellious people. Time after time after time, they try the Lord. Time after time after time, they rebel against the Lord. Time after time after time, they say, Lord, now that you are no longer useful, we don't find you beautiful. And therefore, we're going to worship other gods. This happens repeatedly. And the Lord says, this is how merciful he is. When he says, my face will not go with them, my presence will not go with them, this is God's way of protecting the people This is an act of mercy. This is how merciful, gracious He is, even when we sin, even when we rebel against Him. Oh, I love this Lord. I love this God. He is so patient. He's so compassionate. Now, what's astounding is the response, the prayer of Moses. Moses says, Lord, if your face will not go with us, then don't send us to the promised land. Yes, did you hear that? This is the most amazing prayer. He's saying, Lord, I found you beautiful. I discover you. I gaze upon your beauty and glory. I don't come to you because you are useful. I don't come to you because I get things from you. I come to you for you. So if you're not going to go with us, don't send us. What good is the promised land? What good is wealth? What good is health? What good is prosperity? What good is fertility? What good is security if we don't have you? And that's what Moses was praying. I find you beautiful, Lord. And if you don't go with us, then what good is it that we get to the promised land? And this is an amazing, amazing prayer. And the Lord, therefore, says, I will do whatever you ask. My face, my presence will go with you. Then here comes one of the most incredible questions, requests ever. And the Lord says, now Moses says, now, Lord, show me your glory. Another key word, show me your glory. When I read this passage, and I reread it, I don't know, 10 times, maybe more. You know, I kept scratching my head, hence I'm bald. You say, that's a weird request. The Lord says, I will go with you. Moses says, now show me your glory. What am I missing? Are those two connected? And the answer is yes, absolutely, they are connected. So what's the hook? What's connecting these two things? I will go with you. My face will go with you. I'm not going to destroy you. I'm going to protect you. Now, Lord, show me your glory. The word glory, say kavod. Kavod. That's how you pronounce it in Hebrew, kavod. It literally means weight, as in heaviness. Weight, heaviness, glory. That's what it means. It's like Moses saying, Lord, how much do you weigh? This is what he's after. How much do you weigh? What is your glory? Let me put this this way. It's like Moses saying, let me see your face. Let me see your face. Let me see your face. Let me see how worthy you are. Let me see how beautiful you are. Let me see how you are, how glorious, glorious, majestic you are. Melt my heart. I want to see your face. I think that's what he was asking. And God's response was, I can't do that, Moses. If you saw my face, if you saw my glory face to face, it will kill you because I'm a holy God. I'm a righteous God. And you and all the rest of your people, you are a stiff-necked. My presence, my glory will consume you. And then the Lord comes up with a provision. Moses, look, there's a rock. Stand up on it. And you're going to find a cleft in the rock. Get inside of it. And as I pass by, I will cover you with my hands. Interesting visual aid here, right? The Lord is going to pass by and he's going to cover the rock, the cleft in the rock with his own hands. And the Lord says, I will show you my back. But my front, my face, you will not see. Because anyone who sees my face, the glory of God, the beauty of God is so glorious, so shiny. It's going to consume you. Again, this is how merciful the good Lord is towards Moses, toward me, and towards you. And the Lord passes by. He covers the rock with his own hands. And Moses sees the glimpse, veiled glory of God, just his back. And then, let's go on to chapter 34. What happens now? Then the Lord came down in a cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord, and he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet, listen to this, yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshiped him. Another key word there is, as the Lord reveals himself, look, when I'm passing you by, you will see my goodness. Yep. You will see my goodness. And then he says, I am both compassionate and gracious. At the same time, I am righteous and just. I'm going to forgive all your sins. At the same time, I will not let sins go unpunished. I will punish the people for what they deserve. Are you confused as I am? Look, let me read it. Since the Lord is good, he must be both just and gracious. Write these words. Since the Lord is good, he says, my goodness will pass by. You will see my goodness. And because I'm good, I am both what? Just and gracious. Not either or, but both and. God is good. Therefore, he is just. What kind of good God is he? If he's not just, if he doesn't bring about righteousness and justice to the people and in his domain in the world, what kind of God is it? He's not a good God. Let me put it this way. What if the Lord says to Adolf Hitler, hey, since I am compassionate, I'm going to let you off the hook. It's all G. All the killings you've done, all the murdering you have done, and all the atrocities you committed, no problem. I'm compassionate. I'm gracious. Call it good, even. Is that a good God? The answer is no. That's not a good God. That is not a good God. Since he is good, he must bring about justice. Justice. What if God says to Vladimir Putin, hey, of all the things that you've done, all the killings and all the murdering and all the chaos that you have created in the land of Ukraine, but since I am compassionate, call it good. It's all G. Would you find that God good? No, you wouldn't. That's not a good God. Because God, since he's good, he must be just at the same time. At the same time, he says, because of my goodness, I am gracious. I am compassionate. I don't treat you as your sins as you deserve, as your sins deserve, as you deserve. I don't treat you. But instead, since I am good, I forgive you. Because I'm good, I show grace to you. Since I'm good, I don't treat you as you deserve. See, it's because God is both good. Because God is good, he is both just and gracious. The theme and the goal is this. Prayer is discovering God beautiful, not useful. And when you focus on the beauty of the Lord, then your heart will be always, always be satisfied. And you will come to the Lord with this posture of prayer that Moses offered. In conclusion, let me offer three applications. May I? Number one, how do you discover the Lord beautiful without focusing on his usefulness? Eh? Some of you are wondering about that all along in this message. So, how do I find God beautiful without focusing on his usefulness? Because that's the temptation, right? I mean, what good is a good God if he does not bless you and benefit you? Well, hang on. Again, remember, the Lord is beautiful. You focus on that, not him being useful. Have you ever seen a most amazing sunset? I have. It's hard to see sunsets in Alberta, but when I was living in Michigan, we used to go drive to the Lake Michigan, and this lake is as big as any oceans. You can't see the end of it, and because this is a lake, the waves were calm and placid. And when the sun was set on the horizon over on the city of Chicago, I still remember it. When it's a clear night, the sun becomes like this Monet interpretation of red, yellow, orange, and it hits the oceans, the lake, and it bounces off, and the colors and the beauty, I don't know how to describe it. And I remember sitting in the car, because it was cold, sitting in the car. Just gazing upon it, saying, oh, that's beautiful. Oh, that's glorious. Oh, that's majestic. Oh. I could have sat there for hours, just enjoying the beauty. Now, all the time, not even for once was I thinking, now, Victor, remember, however, the sun is glorious, sun is beautiful, yeah. But remember, Victor, sun provides you warmth, sun provides you light. Because of the sun, the earth doesn't crash into the abyss, it just revolves around the solar system. Okay? Never for once was I thinking about the usefulness of the sun. You see, in the meanwhile, I do receive all of its benefits. I think that's a good illustration. You focus on the beauty of the Lord Jesus, then the use, his benefits will come. But we mess it up when we mix the order. Don't come to the Lord because he's useful. Do come to the Lord because he's beautiful. Second application. What is your golden calf? What is your golden calf? Remember, the people made the golden calf so that they may follow this golden calf to the promised land. Okay? They even said, this golden calf brought us out of Egypt. What they're saying is this. Hey, look. Why didn't they make a golden eagle? Good question. Why didn't they make a golden beaver? We see beavers here. Why didn't they make a golden moose? But instead, they made what? A golden calf. You know why? Because there was a God in that time, in that space, God of calf, God of cows, which symbolized, guess what? You got it, wealth, health, prosperity, fertility, and security. If you wanted those things, you worship the God of the calf. So this was not a random idol. They knew exactly what they're doing. You see, vernacularly speaking, in today's term, the golden calf represents money. Money is the number one competitor against the Lord. Not that the Lord has any rivalry, no. But it's just that we go to our money for things only God should provide for us, like wealth, health, prosperity, fertility and security. All that is important to us, we go to money, our golden calf. And that's why it is so, so important that you name it. How do you know that you trust the Lord for your livelihood? Do you bring to the Lord your first fruits? Do you bring to the Lord your tithe? Do you experience the grace of God? Do you recognize, do you confess, do you proclaim? And saying, every good and perfect gift in your life has come from the Lord. Do you believe that your success, what your hands have provided, what your sweat had toiled, it's all a blessing from the Lord? The Lord gave it to you. And therefore, you don't worship money. You render money to the Lord. so that your heart is in the right place, so that you worship the Lord because He is beautiful, not He is useful. Do you bring the first fruits to the Lord? Do you rejoice in tithing? This is how you know whether you are worshiping the golden calf or not. Lastly, number three, will you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, my Lord, my God? The face of God, the glory of God, God being pleased with you. Listen, John chapter 1. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has ever seen God. No one has ever seen the glory of God face to face. But it is Jesus Christ who is the glory of God, who is God Himself. He made the Father known to us. It's only through the person of Jesus Christ that we can see God in His glorious, face to face without being consumed to death. Mark chapter 1, verse 11. As Christ was being baptized by John the Baptizer, and He came up out of the water, and there was a voice from heaven declaring, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." There's only one person in the entire humanity, in the entire universe, with whom God the Father is pleased. That's His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Moses was a figure, a type of Christ in the Old Testament. Christ, you are, God the Father is pleased with Christ. And that's why you have to come to Jesus. You have to be born again. Because when Christ becomes your Lord and Savior, He comes into your heart, and God the Father sees no longer the sinner Victor Koh. He sees His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. And through Jesus, God the Father says to me and to you, "I am pleased with you. I am pleased with you." So friends, let's say together the theme and the goal. Prayer is discovering God, what? Beautiful, not useful. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we come to You now. We gaze upon the face of God. Because of Your Son, Jesus Christ, we are not being consumed. We are being spared. We are spared. Even though You walk with us, even though we sin after we sin after we sin, You are gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. And yet, You do not ignore the sin in our lives. We deserve it all. We deserve it all, Lord. So thank You for the cross. On the cross, Christ died for my sins. You did punish us in the person of Christ. And You did show compassion to us in the person of Jesus. And Lord Jesus, that's why I come to You day after day after day. You are my all in all. Thank You, Lord. Now, friends, for those of you who have never confessed this prayer, say it with me. Lord, I will find You beautiful, not useful. Amen, amen. And then friends, you got to say yes to Jesus. You got to submit yourself to the Lord Jesus. Acknowledge Him. Thank Him that He died for your sins. Thank Him that He has given you His life and His glory. Receive it all. Say that prayer in your heart right now with me. Lord Jesus, You are my Lord, You are my Savior, and I thank You for Your grace. Now I choose to follow You in humility, in worship, and seeking after Your face. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Would you like to bring your first fruits? Would you like to bring, practice the joy of tithing? Let's do that by clicking Give Online button so that we may know that we are not finding God useful, but we are worshiping Him because He is what? Beautiful. Friends, I will see you next week. And for now, would you receive the parting blessing? May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the good Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace, both now and forevermore. And God's people said together, Amen.